Hello, gorgeous.
I would make a great queen because I am so stubborn.
Well, when I'm good, I'm very good. But when I'm bad, I'm better.
Never take a learning opportunity away from another student. No matter how smart you need everyone to think you are.
I am dancing a bright beam of light.
Team is your family. You have to protect them from those guys, okay?
Make the money. Don't let it make you.
You had me at hello.
And most importantly, you must always have faith in yourself.
This is I'm Here for the Food.
What's up, everybody? This is I'm Here for the Food, and this is Melissa. I wanted to talk to you, the viewer, the listener, the supporter, the loyalist, and first offer my deepest thanks. I have such an enormous sense of gratitude for everybody that's listened to an episode or binge-watched or listened to all of them. Anybody who has subscribed to any of the platforms, YouTube, iTunes, iHeart, Spotify, from, you know, the bottom of my heart, I can't thank you enough. I'm Here for the Food was my brainchild, you know, so I've literally treated it like it was my baby. I have thought about it for many, many years before I even knew what I wanted to do with it. You know, some backstory on where the title comes from, you know, as long as 20 years ago, whenever I would go out on a date about a guy that I was not that enthusiastic about, but I also didn't feel like cooking. You know, I'd go have some good times and whatnot, and I'd have an incredible meal, and whenever my girlfriends would ask me about, you know, so how was your date? I would say, girl, I was just there for the food. And I said it so consistently that friends of mine would say, you know, Melissa, one day you're going to do something with that. And I'm like, yeah, who knows what it's going to be. I really have no idea. And it became a running joke between me and my girlfriends, because not only was I adept at, you know, being able to go out for food, you know, more than, you know, once, twice, three times, four times a week, oftentimes I could convince guys to buy my girlfriend's dinner as well. So it just became like a running joke, you know, and always I just want to let the guys know who are listening and in their feelings. The guy was always in on it. He was never taken advantage of. I just want to make that clear that it was always good times, you know. But when it came to creating the podcast, it was more than just a podcast. I just want to let everybody understand that. When I started the I'm Here for the Food podcast, it was already a media company. I had been working with a friend of mine by the name of Clint Coley to develop a screenplay idea, which we began writing 8 months before my car accident. And we completed it many months after my car accident, because we weren't completely finished. But it's a 98-page feature-length script. It's a romantic comedy, and it is based on my dating life. It is based on some of the really, really, the more interesting dates that I've been on. There's a lot of fiction in it, but it's all rooted in truth as well. So there is a feature-length movie that we've been in the process of shopping. There's several other verticals that I have planned for the brand, and was planning before this shelter-in-place quarantine situation happened. So there was going to be the I'm Here for the Food, the cooking series. There's the a la carte series, which is one-on-one interviews in a more intimate setting outside of the studio, a little bit more, you know, Diane Sawyer and Barbara Walters in its format. And then there was also going to be, you know, merchandise, a whole big plan. But the podcast itself was really was what I wanted to put my focus in. And the reason being that I'm the sole girl on Hollywood Unlocked. And as amazing as that is, I love Jason and I love Damage and I love our audience. That being said, our audience is 68% women. And I felt like they deserved a show with a long form discussion format with women who were both entertaining and relatable. And in addition to that, I also felt there was something missing from the podcast space that featured relatable content today's every woman could identify with. I know that when I went looking for podcasts that I felt represented me, I couldn't find many, if at all. So I decided to create what I saw was a void. You know, I don't know a female who doesn't like to chill with her girls, eat some food, throw back a couple of drinks, you know, without the pretense of having to get all dolled up or, you know, watch what she says or how she presents herself. And what I wanted to do with I'm Here for the Food is invite everybody into basically my living room setting, you know, and to have, you know, open dialogue about trending topics and conversations that touches all on a personal level. And, you know, that includes relationships, that includes life and death, that includes race, politics, culture, health, wellness, spirituality, religion, you know, it's an endless list. And if you, you know, have been watching the show, there's a lot of purpose that is given to the selection of our guests. You know, everybody from Jayla Baxter, who was the sex trafficking recovery expert, whose expertise comes from having been turned out into the streets herself when she was a young girl, groomed by somebody, molested by an uncle, abandoned by her mother. She remains a friend of mine after having done the show. We've had Mr. Marcus, you know, the former porn star, who I knew as a caring, loving father of two beautiful girls and a man who goes to church. And I wanted the world to see him like that and not just define him by, you know, what he did, you know, in his profession. We've had Dr. Michael Eric Dyson, who, you know, his reputation speaks for himself. We've had Marcia Dyson, who is my, you know, surrogate mom in this country. And I'm basically an orphan, so I'm always looking for somebody to connect to. And she is just, she's been like my mamacia for almost 10 years now. You know, Laz Alonzo, who's a very good friend of mine. You know, I don't really need to tell you guys about that. He's a wonderful guy. He's an actor. He's a very talented actor. He's extremely handsome, but he's just a dope person. And at the end of the day, that's what I want everybody to come away with after they've watched I'm Here for the Food, is a greater sense of understanding about the person that they've just seen interviewed. And I think that we've been, you know, really successful in accomplishing that.
You don't want to sweet talk your car into starting.
Come on, you little beauty.
And you don't want to turn the air as blue as your fingers.
Come on, you little.
You want Halfords. We fit car batteries while you wait from just £15. Let us find it, fix it or fit it at over 750 stores and garages nationwide. Or we'll come to you with our mobile experts. Because if you want to keep moving this winter, you want Halfords. Fitting cost only excludes Northern Ireland.
So we've definitely gone through some changes with the show early on, in fact. You know, in the beginning, I started off with three co-hosts, Chantal and Blue. Chantal, she was wonderful. I casted her the minute I saw her, and that, you know, Colgate smile with that red lipstick, I was like, oh, she stands out. Plus the fact that she was 6'6". She was with us for about 7 to 8 episodes, and her contribution was amazing. I wanted somebody who was of the Christian faith. She represents so many women, and especially women of color in this country, with her views, that I thought that she was, you know, a really important part of the cast. I was so sad to see her go, but she wanted to focus more on her charity, Confidently His, and the organization that she had basically birthed herself. And I understand when you want to focus on your own stuff, you know, and when something might be taking away from it. So, you know, we wished her the best. Her contribution, like I said, was amazing. She's a wonderful, wonderful girl. And I still regard her very, very fondly. So we continued to go on with the show. And it was going extremely well. And then COVID-19 hit. Coronavirus. And here we are. I don't even know what day it is. I'm sure some of you feel me on that. I think that I've worn the jogging pants that I'm wearing right now for about a week. I have like 3 pairs of jogging pants that I rotate. No, 4 pairs that I rotate between. So since I'm still shooting the show, I put on a pretty presentable top. I beat my face, but, you know, down below, it's pajamas. Because who's seeing me? I'm not leaving the house other than just to go walk my dog Daisy. And I make more trips to the fridge than I do around the block. And my ass is starting to actually show that that's happening. So hopefully we see some kind of reprieve within the next few weeks so that I can get my butt up on a canyon. But on a more serious note, a lot of people have experienced an enormous amount of loss, an incalculable amount of loss, really, you know, for those who have lost family members, lost close friends because of this virus. And I know that we're all in a state of confusion because with a 24-hour news cycle constantly updating us on a death toll, but it's seemingly giving us such conflicting, confusing information as to how this virus actually works and who is most susceptible for catching it. Is it airborne? Do you have to stand 6 feet apart, 10 feet apart, 27 feet apart? Once once somebody's passed away, is the virus still alive on them? Like, I can't tell you how many things I have seen that have contradicted something I saw the day before and has just left me in such a state of confusion and I struggle to even articulate all of the things that I feel, but I feel, as being an empathetic person, I feel so much sadness. I feel the darkness. I feel the dark energy that is just kind of circulating within the globe. And the smallest things make me upset, you know, things that would be, you know, in our peripheral vision or not even in our visual at all. You know, for example, I imagined retiring to Bali. I thought, I've got 5 to 6 years left in this industry, and then I am done. I am chucking up my deuces and saying adios, and I am going to be a where are they now story. Well, I was going to be in Bali. That was my plan. And I follow a lot of Bali tourism pages, a ton of them, because I'm obsessed with Bali. I've been there. It is paradise. I love it. I decided that was where I was going to spend at least part of my time while I was retired. And then I saw one of these pages that did a before and after visual of what the beaches look like, of what the city looked like, what all the tourist attractions look like, full of people and tourism, and it was bustling, to now it's empty. Nothing is going on. And Bali is one of those places that relies I'd say 70%, 80% of their economy is based on tourism. There's people that work in that industry that couldn't take one day off, much less weeks off, much less months off. And so my heart broke for the Balinese people or anybody that had gone to Bali with the same dream that I had, and now their dream is kind of falling apart. Like I said, you know, seems so far away, but not to me. And I'm sure that all of you have similar stories about being confronted with a dream that seems to be fading. You know, I'm sure a lot of us bore the brunt of what 2019 gave us, and we were all like, okay, 2020 vision, 2020 is my year. Okay, well, 2019 is looking like a walk in the park and a picnic compared to what we're dealing with now. 2020, it's having a reverberating effect that we're probably going to feel for the next year to 2 years, probably for the next 6 to 7 years, economically speaking. And it's frightening, and there's a lot of us that do not know what we're going to do, and we are reacting out of necessity. Not a lot of time can be spent on thinking things through when you've got a car payment or rent, or you got to put food on the table, you got to feed a family, you've got a mortgage payment, you've got employees to pay. All of these things are real, real things that we all have to deal with. And I have so many friends in the entertainment industry, myself included, who aren't eligible for unemployment insurance. You know, so many friends who are makeup artists who weren't unionized, or stylists who weren't part of a union. You know, and a union provides a safety net. Hairstylists, there's certain businesses are considered luxury businesses, luxury services, and I worry about them. It's fucked up is what it is, honestly. It just is. And unfortunately, all of this has kind of hit very close to home for me. Obviously, I'm concerned about my mom As you all know, I've been very transparent about how much I have been struggling with my mother's cancer diagnosis. Even just talking about it makes me want to cry because she's my only parent, and it's my mom. And truth be told, she was diagnosed 6 months before I found out because I was angry with her. I was so angry with my mother about something that she had done or that I had perceived that she had done that I refused her phone calls. I refused to respond to her emails or texts. And I missed 6 months of her cancer diagnosis. And that's probably why I cry so much, because I have carried around so much guilt for letting my anger be bigger than talking to my mother, my only living parent. And so being here in California, I'm 4,000 miles away from my mom, but it's just not safe for me to travel to see my mom because she's the definition of immunocompromised. So the only option I have is to FaceTime with her, Skype, Zoom, and talk to her and make sure that she is sheltering in place and not having any contact with, you know, anybody outside of her household, that they are only accepting deliveries. And I've instructed her, do not touch the bags for at least an hour, Lysol them, being super paranoid about it. But I need my mom here. You know, that's my anchor to the earth. And I'm just not prepared for her to go away. And so for any of you who has lost somebody close to you, a parent, a sibling, an uncle, an aunt, a close friend who was like a mom or dad figure, I mean, my heart bleeds for you. I am so, so sorry. I've thought a lot about connectivity at this time, how connected we all are to one another. That's one of the reasons why I put up the episode about, you know, with the King Magazine guys. But I want to digress right now and just talk a little bit more about how quarantine and shelter in place and just the economic ramifications of my co-host Blue. When you start a podcast, there is no money up front. There just isn't. It's not the way that it works. It takes so long to build this thing out. It takes so long to build an audience to where advertisers and sponsors say, okay, I can give you money now because I know it's going to be seen by eyeballs. It's the ad revenue model. Many, many, many people who do podcasts follow. Your favorite podcasts follow this exact same model. I myself have gone into debt producing this podcast. I think I've spent at least $50,000 putting it together. You know, and it's still not up to the standard of which I want, but things just have to grow. So that being said, Blue has had to make the difficult decision to leave the podcast at this time in order to be able to take care of herself. And it's with sadness that I see her go, because, you know, our chemistry was fabulous. I didn't think that I would meet a co-host that I had the same kind of chemistry with that I have with Jason on Hollywood Unlocked, which has served to make that podcast extraordinarily successful. But here I had a casting, met Blue through the casting, and there we had it. It was wonderful. And it provided so much warmth and genuine laughs from you all as our listeners and our viewers that I have so much gratitude for her for fulfilling that role for the time that she did. But having had to make that hard decision, there's really, I can only just extend my greatest, you know, my best wishes to her and my hopes that everything works out for her. But I wanted to talk to you all about this personally. I'm Here for the Food is my baby. The reasons in which I started it, the things that I want to offer to all of you, they still exist. And so now I just have to come up with creative and inventive ways in which to do so. And so I am going to rely heavily on my very large circle of girlfriends, some of which you have met: the fabulous Takara, the beautiful Roxy, the ridiculously sexy Rosa Acosta, the cerebral and just extraordinarily just magnificent Sky Marshall, these are just some of the girlfriends that I'm definitely going to be leaning on in this time to support me, and I in turn support them, but to come on as my temporary co-hosts to keep you guys entertained and informed. And then I have a myriad of other girlfriends that you guys haven't met, but when I say that they are fabulous, you love the ones that I've shown to you so far, you're gonna love these ones. So I do hope that you all stick with us here at I'm Here for the Food. We have a whole team. There's our social media team, the Pink Lemonade Girls. There is my producer, Corey. There's my videographer, Peter. And one thing that I wanted to tell you guys about is that 95% of my team is women. I am not just somebody who talks about women empowerment. I walk the walk. When you employ women and give them a professional and economic opportunity to make money, that is a form of empowerment. It was always my plan to employ women. I wanted a woman producer, a woman of color producer. I wanted my social media team to be women. They are a group of women of color. My PR team, they are both women. So that has been a mainstay. The collective is women. I speak to you because I am one of you. So that being said, I really hope and pray that you stick with the show. My intention is to, like I said, continue to turn out a lot of really positive and informative and educational and fun content. I am not going to let this virus, the situation that we're in right now, stop the program from happening. I was thinking about taking a hiatus for a mental health break, but I think that I can continue on. If I do need to take that break, I'll be the first one to let you guys know that that is in fact what I'm going to do and why I'm doing it. But I wanted to take this time to say a personal thank you to everybody that has stayed with our show, that has listened to the show, that has watched the show, that has shared the show with friends and family, and that have commented, that have left a review. I feel like I introduced the world to my baby, and you all said it was pretty. So it's just kind of like an inside joke that we make over here behind the scenes of I'm Here for the Food. But again, I cannot, from the bottom of my heart, I cannot thank you enough for what you've done for me. And my sense of self-esteem and my confidence has been raised just by the fact that you all have like been here with me and interacted with me. This has meant the world to me. So again, I thank you, and I hope that you continue to tune into I'm Here for the Food. Bye for now.
If you like our show and the content we're featuring, please hit subscribe on whatever platform you're listening to us. iTunes, Spotify, Google Play, YouTube, and just like your Uber driver asks, leave us a 5-star rating. Also, please leave us a review about your favorite part of the show or your number one takeaway from the episode. We read all the reviews, and this will only help us curate the content that you want to see and hear. Thanks, guys.